indicates in his word on various occasions the need for his people to pray. Such scriptures like Luke 18 and 1, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, Philippians 4 and verse 6, among others. He talks about the need for people to pray. Prayer, of course, is the communication that we have with God. This tells us, since he talks about it in so many places in his word, that God wants to, or wants us, I should say, to communicate with him. He communicates, of course, with us through his word, and he wants to hear from us. So as we talk to God, we express our praise, we express our desires, we express our thankfulness to him, we express our requests and our supplications. However, as we have just read from these scriptures this evening, there are times when he will not hear us. Not that he cannot hear us, but he will not hear us. Meaning, of course, that he will not respond to our prayer requests. I want us tonight, then, or this evening, to consider some times when God won't hear us. That ought to catch our attention. To know that there are times when God will not hear us. Since we want God to hear us, I'm sure we all want God to hear us. It ought to strike our attention to know that there are some times when he will not hear. What are some of those times? Just a few of them I want to share with us this evening. Number one, when we look at again the scripture that was read in our hearing, when our lives are given over to a life of sin, God will not hear us. In the very first chapter of the book of Isaiah, he describes these people's lives. And he said things like this in verse number 4, that they were full of iniquity, or they were laden with iniquity. They were just covered up in their sins. And then when we go to Isaiah again, 59, and start at about verse number 3, he says this about them. And he gives the reason why he will not hear. He says, "For or because your hands," he says, "are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness." And he goes on in the next verse and he says, "None calleth for justice." Can you see the state of these individuals' lives? "Nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." In verse 5, he says this, "They hatch cockatrice, eggs, rather, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper." God's people. These are not the Gentiles, if you will. These are God's people who have just covered themselves up with sin and iniquity. No wonder God refused to hear. God refused to answer. God refused to respond to their requests. So they were consumed with sin in their lives. They were consumed with iniquity. They regarded iniquity. And David even would say in Psalm 68 and verse 18, "If I regard iniquity. Wrong scripture there. 68:18. Well, I may have given you the wrong one. But he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, my God, or the Lord, will not hear me. That is, if we hold on to iniquity, practice iniquity, it becomes our way of life. David said, the Lord will not hear me. That tells me then, tonight, that I need to be very careful of the type of life that I live. Because if I think I don't need to talk to God now, sooner or later, I'm going to need to talk to him. And I want him to hear me. But if my lifestyle is such that he will not hear me, I'm going to be in a terrible state. 66:18. Thank you. 66:18. No wonder when the blind man was questioned and was brought, if you will, to sort of give a defense of himself for being made to see, and they were criticizing the one that had caused him to see. They were calling him a sinner. That is, they were calling Jesus Christ a sinner. The blind man responded in John 9 and verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. I wonder why was the blind man able to say that. I believe he was familiar with Isaiah 59. He being a Jew, he would be familiar with the teachings there. So he said, now we know. You saying that this man was a sinner that called, that opened mine eyes. He says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. He's not one that's, matter of fact, Jesus didn't have not one sin about him. So certainly he wasn't one that was laden with iniquity. So I'm saying to us tonight, if we want God's ears to be open unto us, if we want God to respond to our prayers, we need to make sure that our lifestyle will merit his responding to our prayers. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. There are times when God won't hear us. Even when we go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and down about verse number 14 or 15 there, he says, when you spread your arms and you make many prayers unto me, I will not hear. Why? Because you're full of iniquity. Your lifestyle is of such that I will not hear. And then there are other times that God will not hear us. How many of us have sinned? Is there anybody tonight who have not sinned? Being a child of God, then, in order to get rid of our sins, we have to confess our sins and pray to God that he might forgive us of our sins. So we need God to hear us in times when we realize that we have sinned. We need him to hear us. And we need him to forgive our sins. And God is a forgiving God, isn't he? You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, he said this, among other things that he said to that church. He says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he says, I want you to forgive one another because y'all the imperfect people. Y'all gonna mess up. Y'all gonna sin against one another. So you need to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, why do we need to forgive one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us? It's because If we don't, when we go to God,
knowing that we have sinned and do sin and will sin, when we go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, if we refuse to forgive others, God won't hear us. He won't respond to us and forgive us of our sins. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, notice what He says there. He says, Matthew chapter 5, back up one, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. Notice what He says. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But then here's this but coming. Verse 15. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will I, your Father, forgive your trespasses." God is saying to us, if we are refusing to forgive those that trespass against us, we can beg Him all day long to forgive us of our trespasses. God says it ain't happening. It won't happen. You will still be in your sins until you come to the point that you can forgive your brother or your sister, or you can forgive somebody else that has trespassed against you. God says, "I will not hear your cry. I will not hear your prayer." So we need to be a forgiving people, don't we? And we don't need to just forgive, pick out what we're going to forgive. You know, sometimes folks do that. They pick out what they're going to forgive. Something that they don't term a very grievous sin, so to speak. "Well, she didn't speak to me. Well, maybe she said an unkind word to me. Or he said an unkind word to me." You know, that's a sin, yes. But I might can handle that. And I say, okay, I'll forgive her. But then when they steal something from me, or when they do something else that I look at as a terrible sin, I can't do that. I can't forgive them. They hurt me so bad. They did this to me. Did they that to me? Or they did this to my folks. Or they did that to my folks. I can't forgive them. We can't be selective in our forgiveness. Whatever the sin is, as we term sometimes little sin, got to forgive that. Big sin, we got to forgive that. And if there be any medium sin, got to forgive that. But again, all of us know sin is sin. Amen. So whatever the sin is, we've got to come to the point to forgive an individual. And sometimes the folks that are closest to us, we find it hard to forgive them. Again, because they say, "Well, they are so close to me. How could they do that to me?" Well, Judas was close to Jesus, wasn't he? He says, the scripture talked about that I was wounded in the house of a friend. So if Jesus could forgive one that's close to Him, I know we ought to be able to forgive those that are close to us. But because an individual is close to me, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, my grandmother, my cousin, they're close to me and they've sinned against me, I don't see how they could do that. So I'm not going to forgive them. We can't be selective in our forgiveness. Whatever it is and whoever it is, we got to be willing to forgive. Because at some point in time in our lives, we're going to need forgiveness. And we're going to want God to hear us. So when we harbor an unforgiving spirit or an unforgiving heart, God will not hear us. And again, all of us have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And we can't claim that we have not sinned. 1 John 1 and verse 8. So number one, when our lives are given over to a life of sin, God will not hear. When we have an unforgiving heart, God will not hear. And then thirdly tonight, when husband and wives do not have the right relationship with each other, God will not hear. Peter said it like this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." Verse number 6, he says this, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Verse 7, he says this, "Likewise, Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, a grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what a hindered prayer is? A prayer that God will not hear. That's a hindered prayer. God will not respond to our prayers when our husband or wife, a family relationship, is not what it ought to be. Therefore, we need to make sure that we do everything in our power that our relationships are right. And if the relationship is wrong, make sure it's not on your part. Now, you can't control what the other party does, but you certainly, and I certainly, can control what I do. So if I want God to hear my prayer, then I've got to have the right relationship in my family relationship, particularly the husband-wife relationship. You see, it's necessary to live according to his will. And that was his will as he talked about that relationship that should exist there. That's his will. That's what he desires. That's what he has planned. That's what he has designed for the husband and wife to do. To live according to his will. That's why the blind man again, who was now a seeing man, in John chapter 9, verse 31 again, he says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." So do we want God to hear us? We got to do his will. Whatever the relationship is, and we can go on and say whatever the relationship is, if it's a family relationship, if it's a relationship, brother, sister, brothers in the church, sisters in the church, folks even out in the world, you got to have the right relationship with them. We can't go around not having the right relationship toward people even in the world. We got to do the right thing toward them if they never or ever do the right thing toward us. Why? Because we want God to hear us. We don't want our prayers to be hindered. And then fourthly and lastly tonight, God will not hear when we fail to meet the requirement of prayer. Do we realize that prayer has requirements that go along? In other words, conditions must be met. And we've talked about some of these conditions, but I'm talking about some more conditions that has to be met in order for our prayers to be heard and answered by God. One, when he prays, he must pray in faith. You know what James says about that? James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men, what? Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Your prayer will be answered. You get what you're asking for. In this particular context, he's talking about wisdom. But then he goes on and says, in verse number 6, "But let him ask in faith." In other words, believing, not wavering, not doubting. "For he that doubteth," or "he that wavereth, is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." And verse 7 says this, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If we don't ask in faith, if we don't ask believing, if there is a doubt in our mind about what we are requesting to God, James says, don't even think you're going to receive it. In other words, we won't receive it. It needs to be and it must be in faith in order for God to hear and respond to our prayer. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit later, even if we believe it, if it's not according to his will, we won't get it then. But first of all, it's got to be in faith. So let us not then pray, "Well, I'm praying this prayer, but I really don't believe that it's going to happen." Might as well keep our mouths closed. Might as well keep our hearts closed instead of pouring it out to God if we don't believe it's going to happen. So I'm saying when we fail to meet the requirements of prayer, God will not hear. There's another requirement of prayer. When we ask, but we ask with the wrong motive, God will not hear our prayer. Listen to what James says in James chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. He says, from whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Verse 2, he says this, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. And then verse 3 says, you ask and receive not. Here's the reason. You ask and receive not, but your motives are wrong. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may do what? Consume it upon your lusts. Our motives need to be right. When we ask, we need to ask out of a pure heart and not ask in order that what we're asking for, we can consume it on our own lust. Lord, give me a new job. Bless me with a new job. I don't have a job. Lord, bless me with a job. What am I going to do when the Lord give me that job? Do I have in my heart that, Lord, when you bless me with a new job, I'll be able to take care of my family, I'll be able to take care of myself, I'll be able to give to you, I'll be able to help somebody else? Are we asking so that we can consume all that on our lusts? You know, I hadn't had a new pair of shoes in a long time. If I get this job, I have some money, I can buy a pair of shoes. I hadn't been able to enjoy a nice meal out on the town. If I get a job, I have some money, I'll be able to go out and do that. All the time, all of these things we keep adding up and putting on our scorecard, if you will, that we're going to be able to do. And nothing on that scorecard, nothing on that tally sheet, if you will, says anything about helping somebody else, says anything about giving to the Lord. When God blesses us, he causes us to prosper, materially speaking, and he has asked us to give him something back. But if we are praying to God in that respect so that we can consume these things on all the things that we want on our own lusts, James says that you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. You're asking to use it for your own selfish purposes. You're not being rich toward God. That's what happened to the rich farmer, remember him? That's why he tore down that barn he had and built a bigger barn. He wasn't storing those goods up there so that he could have to share with his neighbors, to share with somebody else that was in need. You know what he says? What I'm going to do, I'm going to say, you got goods laid up for many years. All you need to do now is eat, drink, and be merry. Go home and eat, drink, and be merry. And after we get out tonight, if we get out in time, you can go home and watch the Super Bowl. And then you can wait till the next sporting event come around and you can watch that. If that's our attitude, that's the wrong attitude. The rich man received these words, our food. This night, your soul will be required of thee. Then who shall those things be that thou hast prepared or thou hast provided? You know what he was concerned about? His own lusts. So I'm saying to us tonight, when we ask God for things, and I'm not saying this prayer, this lesson I'm talking about is basically talking about making requests to God for something. But we need to pray more than just making a request. But I'm basically centering on when we're asking God to do something for us. So I'm saying tonight that when we pray to God and when we ask him to bless us, ask him to bless us so that we can bless somebody else. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Blessing somebody else. That's what it was all about with Jesus, wasn't it? He came not to do what? To be served, but to serve. Came not to minister, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was not a selfish individual. And so we just can't forget about what we got up here. We can't forget about this, brothers and sisters. It needs to go with us throughout the remainder of our lives. What does it say?
None of self.
All of thee. It's all about Christ. It's all about God. It's never been about us. It's always been about what God wants. So tonight I say to us, let's make sure that we meet the right requirements of prayer. And so we must ask in faith. We must ask with the right motive. And we've already said we must live right and ask according to his will. Because there are some things that may not be according to his will. So we need to always pray according to his will. And as we are praying that, make sure we are doing his will. And John gives us this assurance in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. Notice what John says. John gives us this assurance. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why do we receive of him? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, when we receive of him those things that we ask for, then we know that we are keeping his commandments. We're meeting the requirements. We know that God is hearing and he's answering, he's responding to our prayer. John says then we receive those things because we keep his commandments. But sometimes keeping his commandments doesn't necessarily mean all the time we're going to receive, because it's got to be according to his will. And so in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14, he says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Isn't it wonderful to have confidence in Christ and to have confidence in God? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what?
Heareth
us. And verse 15 says this, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Oh, what consolation that we have to know that if we are doing his will and if we are asking things that is according to his will, he heareth us and he will grant us the petitions that we have. There are times, brothers and sisters, when God won't hear us. Let us be a people not like God's people of old, who had gotten to a point in their lives where God says, I won't hear you. Why? Because you're eaten up with sin and iniquity. I won't hear you. Isaiah chapter 1, as we close out again, he says, the ox is better than you are. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people do not consider. It's a terrible thing when the animals act better than us. That's a terrible thing. That's what God was saying. The animals, that beast of burden that plow your crops and that pull your wagons, he is acting better than you are. You are an intelligent being. Find and live a life that's inferior to one who can't think like you. Let's be a people that do the will of God. Yes, God wants to bless us, but many of his blessings are dependent upon whether we are connected to him through prayer in the right way. You know this thing on social media called LinkedIn? We need to make sure we linked in to God. How do you link in to God? By living the right life and doing his will. When you're properly linked in to him, he hears what we pray. All the time, again, as we say so many times, his answer may be no, but he hears us. And through his word, as we study it, even when he says no, we'll come to the realization
that he said no because he knows best for us. And again, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to him. Let God work in our lives. Let's do his will. So that we know all upon him. Hold the Lord's hand is not short. Neither is he in heaven. And your sins have hid his face from you. That he will not. Again, let's make sure that God hears. Because he wants to respond. He doesn't hold his blessings back from us because he wants to. As Brother Vincent would say, Brother Vincent Maynard would say, that the Lord wants the best for us. But in order for us to get the best from him, we've got to yield ourselves to his will. That's the truth. You're here tonight. You're subject to the call of the gospel. Are you living a life that's not pleasing in the sight of God internally? We need you to confess before him. You're not a child of God. Why not obey the gospel? Be baptized. Let the Lord ask you, let us all live a life pleasing and acceptable to God, so that when we call upon him, would you come tonight while we stand?
Just stand.